Hello. This is my last stop on my Lunar Park book tour. This is the final night after touring for since August. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. My voice is totally gone.
So you're already answering my first question. How big is your relief to finish this kind of torture, we must say, after having read the book?
Would you say that again? I don't know. I didn't get the question. I was confused. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What do you say?
No, let's talk about something else.
Okay.
So you're.
I'm sad.
Oh.
I'm a little sad that it's over.
You're sure you're sad?
I'm
sad.
Are you
just being nice with us?
No, it's a little melancholy. I'm a little melancholy. But, okay, go ahead. You can ask me a question. Why are you all laughing at me?
So, what did you know about Zurich before you came here? For example, did you know that it's the European capital of cocaine?
No. No, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. I knew very little about Zurich.
There's a saying that it's easy.
How do you know that?
Because I live here.
Is that what you're most proud of your country? What about like the architecture or like the arts or something? All I get is like we have a lot of cocaine here. Hey, great. I'm happy for you. I don't know. That's good. Okay, so
yeah,
you have
brilliant.
A lot of cocaine. Okay.
Shall we get to do some serious talk about your book?
No, serious.
So
you know, I can't do serious talk about my book because I don't write from necessarily a very serious place. I write from a kind of like a playful place. It's like fun. I find it fun to write a book. You know, I had this like disastrous thing that happened last night in Stuttgart. Thank you. Oh, it already made the news here, did it? It already came here. I was in this audience. There was a very how do you say erudite intellectual professor interviewing me on the stage. And he was asking like 5-minute questions that required like 40 answers. And they were all very well-intentioned. And, you know, he was like a very nice guy. But I didn't understand any of them. I couldn't relate to any of them. I just find it fun to write a novel. But I will attempt to answer a serious question that you have.
Well, we know that you're under heavy medication tonight, and maybe it's...
You know what?
It's
not heavy enough. It's not heavy enough. No, I'm really not. I'm under, like, very weak aspirin and some, like, organic, like, cold pills. Herbal pills. I mean, I couldn't get to a pharmacy. I mean, I'm like... No, I'm not under like heavy medicine. That's why I'm chewing ice and having these little lozenges, Vicks. Vicks. I'm going to have another one now because I'm losing my voice again. Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay, because I seriously wanted to know how the whole Hamlet stuff got into the book.
Oh, no, my God.
But I guess that bores you to death.
No, that's a very good question. But what, you mean like all the little like Hamlet references that are like in the book?
Yeah.
And there's like the Hamlet epigraph. Yeah. Hamlet is like, you know, the ultimate... dead father haunting the son, ghost story kind of thing. And I thought, you know, that's the template for all works like that. So, you know, actually I was reading Hamlet a lot while I was writing the book. I didn't want to, like, copy anything from it, and I didn't want to copy any plot stuff from it. So I just, like, you know, put some little funny references in it. Nothing more serious than that.
Okay. So we all know that you actually wanted to read a book about yourself, or that's what you said in interviews, and that's why you wrote about someone called Bret Easton Ellis, very similar to you. But there are also other figures like Jane Dennis, and actually we'd like to know who is the real life figure behind Jane Dennis.
You know, I don't know her name. but I've met her many times. I've met her a couple of times. We've had our picture taken together. But who is she based on, or who on the Jane Dennis websites that are out there? Who is that person? You don't know what I'm talking about.
I saw the website, and there is there are pictures
of a woman,
yes,
yeah.
Called Jane Dennis, and so she looks a lot like Sofia Coppola.
A lot like Sofia Coppola, yes.
So you really think that's the peak of womanhood, or?
That's the peak of what?
No, that's the I don't know how to say it. The best woman ever created, or the most desirable, the most stylish, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, it's not Sofia Coppola. And only in one picture does Jane Dennis on these websites resemble Sofia Coppola. It's only that one, very badly done, kind of like Photoshop picture that's not so good. But she's a very lovely girl. A very nice girl. She happens to work in the publishing house in America, and she's very pretty, and they used her photos for that. Is that what you asked me?
No, not really, but it doesn't matter. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how it's been going for a long time with me. Don't worry. It's not you. It's me. It's not
I
you.
I feel
it's
so
me.
Fucked up on you. Yes, let's try. So, actually, it seems
like... this place that I'm at right now, what's it called?
It's part of the Kunsthaus.
And it's really a serious place. You have American writers come here who talk.
No, the last who was here was Michel Houellebecq.
Oh, God. That must have been a blast, okay? Did he smoke on stage?
I'm not sure. I concentrated on his dog. His dog was more funny than himself.
You concentrated on his what?
His dog. He had a little dog.
He was holding a dog? He was holding a dog with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he's crazy. He's crazy.
Okay, but he was rather compared to you, he was nothing, I can assure you.
He must have given better answers than I did, right?
No, not really. No. Most of the time he'd just say, no, I don't think so.
Okay, I take that back. I like Michel Houellebecq now. I like him. Last summer when I was in L.A., I was in bed, and it was 11 o'clock, and a friend of mine called me up and said, you've got to come out to dinner. I'm having dinner with Oliver Stone and Michel Houellebecq and these two girls. This was in L.A. And I said, okay, first of all, Oliver Stone, Michel Houellebecq, you're all crazy. I'm not coming out to have dinner with you. But tell Oliver Stone, who I know socially, I said, tell Oliver I say hello. And I told my friend who called me up, who had never met Michel Houellebecq and didn't really know who he was, I said, you really should read Michel Houellebecq's books. They're really, really good. And my friend said, yeah, I know, he thinks so too. That was funny. Is it hot in here?
But you do love your own books as well, don't you?
Do I what?
Love your own books.
Do I love my own books?
Yeah. And I mean, it seems to be much fun to read from Lunar Park.
It seems fun to read from Lunar Park? It seems fun to read from Lunar Park. Yeah, it is fun to read from Luna Park. It's fun to read because it's more, it's like in a voice that's easier to read from than any of my other books. It's not so like conceptualized and first person present tense and trying to stay in the voice of some crazy person. Though, of course, it isn't the voice of a crazy person, so. But it's like, it's much more like, it's much more how I write. The other books really are, this is too complicated an answer, and it's really not going to like open up anyone's mind about my work. Do you want me to go on? I will. Okay. The other books, the main narrators were symbols. They were conceptual. I felt they were representative of something. And I don't feel that this time out. I felt very liberated writing this book, and that it was the most, I guess, what most closest to me than any of my other books.
That's so, so beautiful. It's so beautiful and so grand. Thank you so much. So, but we don't have to be afraid that this was your last book, because it's the whole self-deconstruction of the author.
Yes. All right. Ask me again. Ask me again. Say this one more time.
Lunar Park.
Yes.
Which beautifully depicts the self-deconstruction of the author as an almost grown-up man. Do we have to be afraid that this is going to be your last book, or will there be another?
Who's going to be afraid?
We. Readers?
No, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. No. How much cocaine is here in the city? A lot.
Okay, so I think this is a good point, maybe, to finish. And you can go and sign the books, and then we'll watch out for some cocaine.
Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad. Those are very good questions. They were. So ask me the last question. What's the last question?
Now, the figure which fascinated me most in this book wasn't actually Bret Easton Ellis, but the Turby. So maybe Turby. You'd like to tell me something about the Turby.
Turby. Well, you can't talk too much about the Turby. Because if you talk about the Turby, you start giving away a lot of the secrets of the book. The Turby is like a big mystery. The Turby is this doll that the Bret Easton Ellis character buys his stepdaughter for her birthday. And he gets it from his drug dealer, because they're like sold out of it everywhere, and his drug dealer is able to get like, you know, contraband dolls and things like that. And so it's brought into the house, and it starts to malfunction, I guess, attacks animals, and it wreaks havoc. But it's a symbol of something. It's a symbol of the past, and yeah, you have to get to that part. And it's the Turby's hard to talk about without giving a lot of the book away. But it was based on something that I wrote when I was a kid. I really did have it wasn't called a Turby, but the Turby was based on something that I was familiar with when I was a child. A very scary thing, scary doll.
Okay, so that was really deep. Thank you so much. And thank you for a very
Was I dissed for answering the Turby question? That was a hard question to answer. The part that the fact that you actually find the Turby more interesting than the Bret Easton Ellis character, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with that? But as you were saying, what's next? Say it. Say it. Say it. What's next?
I have no idea.
See, this is what happens when you're at the very end of a book tour. You kind of just get like, you know, comfortable with yourself. I really don't feel the need to like, I don't know, like answer questions or anything anymore. I just feel like being myself. Isn't it lovely?
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful.
Would you have, Would you like to ask me anything else?
No.
Okay.
No. Would you like to tell them anything else about yourself, being comfortable with yourself, etc.?
No. I would like to say thank you for having me here in Zurich, the cocaine capital of the world. And if anyone wants to give me any, I can't take it because I'm not doing drugs. All right. Well, I'm going to say goodnight and thank you very much all for all of you to come.